My name's Leah Fiore Tracy, and this is Take Me to Eternity. Today I'm going to be talking about a whole lot of things. In my last episode, I know it was short, but I was talking about digital currency and how our governments across the world, our government, should I say, is pushing digital currency on everybody. We're really watching revelation come true in front of our eyes. The Bible talks about, in the end, there will be one who is worshipped by the world. He will establish himself above all. The nations will worship him, and he will have great power. Enough so that if you don't take his mark, you'll not be allowed to buy, sell, or trade. The foundation is being set, and it's unfurling quickly. And we are watching the foundation for revelation to come true. And that's what this episode's going to be about. There was no time in the history of the world that this would make sense except for now. Imagine how many different prophets back in the time of prophets that were giving these prophecies that made no sense to them. And now we get to see the unfurling of what is going to eventually happen. I mean, if you believe scripture, you can see what's happening. We're watching as the dollar is collapsing, and they're fighting to establish a digital dollar, and they're winning because they're forcing it down people's throats, which will in the end be the one world currency talked about in Revelation. The one world government is being and has been established for a while now. It's actually starting to poke its ugly head out more and more for the public to see. People are starting to say the quiet part out loud, and they're doing it more often. The puppetry happening in America as well as other places is unnerving. Looking at the way that COVID was handled is just, I mean, the world really got together, you know, and not in a good way. With the World Economic Forum starting to emerge from its hole and be in the spotlight, the UN is fighting for unity. They call for a one-world government to be established, and truthfully, it seems like they already have established the order. We're just not fully inclined to it yet. They're simply forcing the people to come to the conclusion that this is what they want, as they do so often. Or at the very least, what needs to happen, what's there for their benefit. All in the name of equity and Greenpeace. They're causing our economy to tank and driving our dollar to mean nothing. They're literally forcing their hand to get what they want and using the puppets in the government as faces to entice and coerce their will on the people. We have been desensitized by the use of the word world and universal, and I really think it's lost its weight to some people. The proposals and push that we have for things like universal health care, universal basic income, and universal housing shows that they're pushing for radical ideas that don't just reflect our nation. Unless your head is in a hole, you couldn't have missed all of these signs. And one thing that's especially interesting is the One World Religion headquarters that's now open. It's called the Abrahamic Family House and was built on the Saadiyat Island in Abu Dhabi. This new multi-faith complex has a mosque, a synagogue, and a church. Tell me that isn't a confusing mixture. This is now being called Chrislam. Have you heard that before? I've heard that directed towards Rick Warren before, but this is what it's being called, Chrislam. It's a Catholic Muslim interfaith headquarters. Okay, I'm going to butcher these names, and it's not on purpose. Pope Francis, Sheikh Amin al-Tayyab, an important imam in Sunni Islam, and the Grand Imam al-Azhar have collaborated to bring about a global peace covenant. They called for religious tolerance and dialogue. Sounds good until you see what's actually happening. They signed a document called the Document of Human Fraternity for World Peace with a hand-in-hand symbol of interfaith brotherhood. Interesting place to put the headquarters, since this Muslim country deems it illegal for conversion or speaking against Islam. not to mention that Muslims teach that Muslim apostates should be killed. This religion also says that you can lie to accomplish Allah's will. Don't see trust issues with this one. The signing of this covenant was done in front of a global audience with religious leaders from all Abrahamic faiths present, from Islam, Judaism, and quote-unquote Christianity, which, you know, it's Catholicism. The covenant assumes one God between all. It tries to bring unity between four belief systems, yes, I said four, Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, and Islam. These belief systems are incompatible. They're completely incompatible. It's not the same God. The God of one cannot be the God of another. You just can't. Salvation's found in different places in each one. You can't say multiple contradictory things about God and say he's still the same God. Galatians 1:6-10 says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he's to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you've received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. These different faiths have different gospels. They just do. The gospel is found in the Bible. It's not found in the Quran. It's not found in any of the apocryphal books that are not in a Protestant Christian Bible. Are these men striving to please men or God? There's no other way to look at it other than they're trying to please men if it's not grounded in God's word. We live in a post-truth society where truth no longer holds value. Where it's said we all have our own truth, and one man's truth is just as true as another's. You can't have multiple truths. There is absolute truth, and we can know what that is. It's found in Scripture, in the Bible, not in all the things that different people call Scripture. You can't have all the contradictory statements and still have something that is absolutely true. In the document, it states, we call upon intellectuals, philosophers, religious figures, artists, media professionals, and men and women of culture in every part of the world to rediscover the values of peace, justice, goodness, beauty, human fraternity, and coexistence in order to confirm the importance of these values as anchors of salvation for all, and to promote them everywhere. That's not something that can actually happen. One religion can only promote another religion if they're being disingenuous. I can't support others' salvation through different means, since salvation is found in Christ alone, through faith alone, not of works, not of anything that you can do apart from Christ. And Jesus Christ is the only name in which one can be saved. There's no other name in which we can be saved. Acts 4:12 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Every religion but Christianity says you must do in order to be saved. Christianity says it's been done, and the only way for you to have salvation is through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The Jews reject Jesus as their Messiah, and so does Islam. Catholics believe they have to do in order to be saved, as well as Mormons, who now call themselves Christian. So when you say Christian, you know, it lumps in so many different ideologies, it's not even funny. You have Mormons who call themselves Christians now. You have Christian Scientists who call themselves Christians. You have New Age who call themselves Christians. The word Christian only means something if you have a foundation on which the meaning comes from, and that's Scripture. This is all a different gospel, you know. All of these different things are a different gospel. To say that the values of peace, justice, goodness, beauty, human fraternity and coexistence are anchors of salvation for all is not a biblical statement and cannot be accepted as such. Unfortunately, the Christianity they are claiming here is Catholicism, so no wonder they're able to accept such things. When you compromise in one area, it's easier to compromise in others. Another part of the document states, "We affirm also the importance of awakening religious awareness and the need to revive this awareness in the hearts of new generations through sound education and an adherence to moral values and upright religious teachings. In this way, we can confront tendencies that are individualistic, selfish, conflicting, and also addressing radicalism and blind extremism in all its forms and expressions." How exactly is this going to be done? Which religious education are they talking about? Because as there are laws against any kind of conversion in the same place that this facility is, we're also seeing stricter laws against speaking biblical truths that could lead to conversion around the world, i.e. the entire message of Scripture. No gospel equals no Christianity. To not use the name of Jesus is to not share the only thing that can save you. To not call him God is to reject Jesus of who he is. There is no salvation if he is not the perfect Lamb of God. If he isn't God himself, he cannot pay for and atone for our sins. No truth equals no Christianity, because Jesus said he is the truth. To not confront sin is to not share the gospel, which is the good news for salvation. To confront tendencies that are individualistic, selfish, and conflicting is to confront any other religion with Christianity. Have you noticed that Christians who adhere to biblical values and teach them are called radical and extreme? Have you noticed that? We're called fundamentalists now. That used to be just fine to be called a fundamentalist. Well, they now changed what that means. We're called fundamentalists and pushed out of what the mainstream deems Christian. Christianity is being replaced with woke ideas of unity, and not just tolerance, but acceptance, approval, and praise for what God says is a sin. If you're not all-inclusive and fight back against anything unbiblical, you are said to be extreme. You're fundamentalist. You're radical. If all parties do not adhere to the Bible for their standards, who makes the rules as to what is extreme or radical? The answer would be man instead of God. In 2020, the United Nations passed an anti-blasphemy law that prohibits any teachings against Islam, including biblical teachings which could speak against them. Islam says a lot of things that are contrary to what the Bible says. If we call Jesus God, that's going against what Islam says. We're seeing a push around the world to make adherence to the Bible illegal. In some places, we're talking about speech that says God created us male and female. That's hate speech. In some places, simply owning a Bible, that's illegal. In some places, simply saying that God created us male and female, it's called hate speech. The truth that a marriage covenant is between one man and one woman, or that there's only one way to heaven, that's all under attack, and it's all considered hateful. Our brothers and sisters around the world are being jailed, beaten, and killed for their faith, for saying things like this. It's coming here, and it's coming quickly. We'll have to make some hard lines in the sand. And the question is, are Christians willing to do that? I don't see many Christians who are willing to stand up for the faith against small things like witchcraft. They're not willing to call out the things that are blatantly against what God says because they want to be nice and kind and inclusive. But the nice and kind and inclusive thing is to include them in being people who have heard the gospel, people who have heard the call to the freedom of salvation. You know, there is no mercy greater than the mercy of God. And and we gotta stop calling things loving or kind that are actually hateful. Not sharing the word with people, not sharing the gospel, not sharing the truth is hateful. It is absolutely hate-filled. It's one of the most hateful things that you can do, is hold that back from somebody who you know is dying in their sins, or you think is dying in their sins, not talking to them about the Lord. I mean, it's so hard to even get Christians to talk about the Bible with other Christians. Why? How are we going to expect them to draw hard lines in the sand and stand up for the Word and the Lord? What is going to happen when persecution comes? Because it's coming. We can't stop saying the name of Jesus or sharing the truth that he has given us simply because humans don't like it. You can't reach people for Jesus at the same time as refusing to use his name or any hard truth. People are being jailed for quietly praying in their own heads in the UK, and Christians are being blamed for violence that was done against them because they didn't agree with and praise someone that God says is an abomination. This happened after the Nashville, Tennessee Christian School massacre. We saw the Christians, these poor babies who got murdered, the people who got massacred, being blamed because of the person who decided to massacre them because they didn't bow before him. This is headed in one direction, and it's headed quickly. So many people think that I am just so, I talk about things so extreme, and it's like, you know, this is what's coming. If you don't see it, I don't know what to tell you, but we need to keep our head out of the sand and pay attention to the signs around us. And so many people aren't willing to do that. They just fluff it off and say, I don't want to know, I don't want to see it, or I don't believe it. This is headed in one direction quickly. The New Apostolic Reformation regularly says they're bringing people into encounters with Jesus with no mention of the name Jesus, or the gospel for that matter. The same people are pushing for the same unity the rest of the world is, and they're not afraid to compromise truth to get there, which makes sense since they believe they have the power to bring heaven to earth and usher in the kingdom of Jesus. They believe that what they do dictates when Christ's return is, so they're going to compromising lengths to make it happen, which makes no sense to me. To see the world's biggest religions assembling and joining hands is amazing, knowing what's happening. We're watching the birth pangs getting closer and the foundations for revelation being laid. Are you awake? I mean, are you paying attention? If you are, you know what's coming, and it isn't going to be pretty. Those who endure to the end will be saved. We need to stand firm, and we need to gird ourselves with the truth and the knowledge of God. We need to be in our Bibles, and we need to be studying them diligently. At what point are we not going to have access to our Bibles? What's going to happen if the Bible apps get shut off? What's going to happen if they become illegal and there is no longer an online Bible? Are you going to have a Bible? Are you? What's going to happen if they say nobody's allowed to own Bibles anymore? Are you going to get rid of them? Things to be thought about. We see people like Rick Warren who partner with mosques, teaching that the God of the Bible and Allah are the same. I really, really hope that he does not know what they teach. I really hope he doesn't know, because if he does, it's seriously scary for him. I choose to believe he's ignorant, or else my words would be seriously more harsh. He has been pushing for a unity between Christians and Muslims for a long time now. In 2009, Rick Warren addressed the annual meeting of the Islamic Society of North America, starting off by explaining how much he and Muslims had in common. He didn't quote scripture and only mentioned the name of Jesus Christ once, and it was in passing. I mention this because it's another ecumenical push, and from someone who is said to be an evangelical Christian, someone well known and at least at one point was really well respected by people. Francis Chan has also cozied up with Catholics and NAR folk. He is pushing for unity amongst what he calls the body of believers. In one discussion, he was talking about things that we can be unified on with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, not to mention his absolute infatuation with Catholicism. When it comes to the gospel and Catholics, he says, "My gospel is the same as the Catholics." But is it really? Is it really? He was once a solid Bible teacher, from my understanding, one that I would have gladly linked arms with and promoted as good and faithful. But what happened? Unity between these different groups simply isn't possible without compromising the very heart of Christianity. The God of the Bible, Jesus as he is, and the gospel itself, or at the very least, condoning and linking arms with those who do. At one point, he would have been right next to me saying, "This is terrible. You can't link arms with these people. They're false teachers. They will lead people astray. They are leading people astray." But unfortunately, that's not what we're seeing now. Romans 16:17-18 says, "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles, contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." When we look at the doctrine that they keep talking about, it is the doctrine that they are teaching. It's the doctrine in Scripture. It is the unchanging hope that we have in Christ Jesus, that he is our only Savior, that he has done it all for us already. The doctrine's found in the Holy Bible. Nowhere else. You can't find it anywhere else. And you can't pervert it and change it either. If you change it, it is not the same thing. We are to avoid people with doctrine contrary to Scripture. Doctrine is supposed to divide. Did you hear me? It's supposed to divide. Jesus came here to divide. And when we hold to the Word of God, it most certainly does. People who teach contrary to Scripture divide the body, meaning we aren't to unite with them. And the people who adhere to Scripture are the ones who are being called divisive. In recent years, Chan has made public apologies to people in the NAR camp, explaining that he at one point would have called them false teachers and warned against them, yet he now praises people like Todd White, Mike Bickle, and stands up for and excuses Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn is, he is pretty bad to be standing up for him and excusing him. He is one of the heretics of heretics. At one point, I heard him talking about the Trinity, and he said there is a Trinity within the Trinity, so there are three fathers and three sons and three Holy Spirits, which means there's nine gods. This is Benny Hinn. As Christians, we are called to have unity, but only over truth. We cannot unite over falsehoods. I wasn't surprised to see the Pope calling for unity with how far he has been bent against biblical principles. But these people ought to be ashamed saying there needs to be unity in places that compromise the very thing you say your life is built on. Mike Bickle, Kenneth Copeland, Chris Vellaton, Todd White, among so many others, push for ecumenicism. They do it also. And it's no wonder that people who so willingly compromise the deity of Jesus and the gospel are pushing to unify with others who do the same thing. The point is that we are watching people push for unbiblical unity to a point where they're able to link arms with idolaters and pagans. They're literally doing exactly what God said not to do, compromising God's truth and putting other gods before him. They are corrupting themselves and others in the process, saying it's for the sake of love and acceptance. They are making their own gods. When we link arms with unbelievers and say that their ideologies are valid, we're in effect rendering any form of gospel that we say that we believe in it's ineffective at that point, in the sense that you're now saying there are many ways to God, even though his word says there isn't. If we devalue the Bible, if we go against Scripture, we are devaluing our own testimony. The gospel means nothing out of our mouth after that. Only through God's grace does it have any power. We have people actively trying to teach that Scripture is not to be trusted. People such as Andy Stanley, who actively works to create a separation between Scripture and belief, God and His Word. Christians are compromising, and it's showing. Unless we stand up and don't back down on truth, we're going to see people falling away more than they already are. They will think that they know the truth and instead be headed towards destruction. We're going to be called bigots, extreme, fundamentalists, and radical all the more. Persecution's coming. I keep warning about that. It's going to come from people who say that they're true Christians, which we already see happening. We see so many Christians compromising and still listening to people who they know have serious issues, who don't trust the Bible, if we don't trust the Word of God, then why do we even call ourselves Christians anymore? It's alarming that so many people can claim to be Christians and yet have no clue what that actually means or hold the Bible as authoritative. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Catholics, and others all claim to be the true church, yet hold to very different beliefs than Scripture tells us. And they still call for acceptance in the Christian circle and unity, though even they say apart from their church you can't have salvation. New Agers, witches, gay and trans claim the name of Jesus, and yet hugely pervert anything of substance. So many call themselves Christians and say, yes, I believe in Jesus, but it isn't the one that the Bible speaks of. We have people like Kenneth Copeland saying unity has nothing to do with doctrine. But as we see in the verse, as we saw in the verse earlier, we are to stay away from those who cause divisions with doctrine contrary to Scripture. Doctrine matters. Todd White has been seen telling witches that Jesus loves them just how they are. And Andy Stanley says that gay people have more faith than even he has. We went from the LGBT community wanting tolerance, to acceptance, to equality, to approval, and now praise. It's not okay to be accepted anymore. You have to praise the fact that they are whatever they decide that they want to be. You're no longer allowed to be different. It's all about conforming. Unity is the theme in the world today. The most evil thing that you can do is to tell someone who's headed to hell that Jesus loves them just the way that they are, and not warn them of the destruction that's to come. We have enough hate in this world. We don't need to add it to the eternal ramifications of holding back the truth. Jude 1:18-23 says that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. There is a new religion that has been unveiled, and truthfully, I could see it being the most accepted of a one-world religion, or at least used by the Antichrist to gain the acceptance of worship. In 2022, there was a UN climate summit where all of the world's religious groups gathered to unveil what they hope will be the new and improved moral code. Christians, quote-unquote, Muslims and pagans alike gathered on Egypt's Sinai Peninsula on top of Jebel Musa near the Red Sea, where they showed their new, are you ready for this, 10 commandments, which are, we are stewards of this world. Creation manifests divinity. Everything in life is interconnected. Do no harm. Look after tomorrow. Rise above ego for our world. Change our inner climate. Repent and return. Every action matters. Use mind, open heart. This is so blasphemous. You shall make no idols, says the Ten Commandments, and they make every manifestation an idol when they say that creation manifests divinity. Creation does not manifest divinity. God is divine. We aren't divine, by the way. We aren't little gods. God is divine. His creation is not. These are absolutely New Age pagan ideas that are meant as a slap in the face to God. After much backlash, they were renamed the 10 Principles of Climate Repentance. You can't take back the mockery, though, that they made on the mountain. One person said that the 10 Commandments delivered by Moses, by God, are contributing to the supposed climate emergency. The idea that God's moral code not only is not for today, but causing the problems of today is complete blasphemy. These new 10 Commandments were read and then they were smashed. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They were making a mockery on purpose. Whether it's Chrislam, ecumenicism, the LGBTQ community, or the new climate change religion, we're watching the world push for a unity in religion like never before. It's no longer a push for all to be Catholic, but a push for unity despite truth. Unity where there can't be. Your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth, there can't be multiple coexisting truths that are completely different. There is one absolute truth. One thing all of these people have in common is the willingness to compromise truth, to get the unity that they're after. In a world that says truth is subjective, it doesn't matter what you believe. Everyone has a right to believe whatever they want. At the 2022 World Government Summit, Klaus Schwab called for world leaders to unite to address global issues and emphasized that this one world government must form as soon as possible. They aren't saying the quiet part quietly anymore. They're saying it loud and proud and expecting results. The talk of the Great Reset that's been going on is not a hoax, nor is it simply a conspiracy theory. Those who think it is are simply unwilling. They're willingly overlooking the truth in front of their faces. They're unwilling to see what's right in front of them. Will the Antichrist get people to unite over the climate? It's an interesting idea, if you ask me. When people think that they're in peril and need saving, they may look to that one person that they think can save them. We know that he's going to have just enough pull, just enough of Satan's powers to be able to trick the world into worshiping him. One of the things that Jesus showed was that he could command the plants, weather, and body, and that they would obey. Is this what the Antichrist will do also to some degree? We know he will perform supposed dead raising and miracles. What will that look like? We don't know. We know that there are plenty of people who claim that they can do these things already, though, even though they can't. He is going to be able to wow the world. And I wonder how quickly those who are in the NAR are going to jump on board to follow the one who looks like they can actually do the things that the NAR claims they can already do. Schwab said, "The impact of the fourth industrial revolution accelerates global change in a much more comprehensive and faster way than previous industrial revolutions." He called it the fourth industrial revolution. And I really think that he did that on purpose. Daniel 7:23 says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it." He was playing off of what Daniel said and attempting to do exactly what Daniel prophesied. That's what he wants to do, is knock down all of the world's governments and be raised up to a one world government. Schwab said to the assembled world leaders, "Despite all the challenges, we have to uphold the responsibility we have towards the next generation through collaborations on a national and a global level. Our futures are intrinsically connected, and that requires collaborative responses." I mean, these are all a push for a one world government. And I really believe that it is already in the works, if not already established, behind the scenes. Schwab wrote a book on COVID-19 called COVID-19, The Great Reset, in which he described the pandemic as a rare opportunity. We have seen people say similarly, things like, let no opportunity go to waste. There was a group of people pushing Marxist ideology on the world decades ago, and they used similar speech. This idea is not new, and it fits in with the rest of the way the world is pushing. It comes to rewriting truth, redefining good and evil, and eliminating those who don't agree. Places like Nazi Germany had similar stances as well as China, and we're watching the playbook being played out at an alarming speed. In reality, this has been in the works for far longer than anyone's willing to admit. That's why books like 1984 and A Brave New World are said to be prophetic now, not because it's actually prophetic, but because they were calling out what they had already seen and knew to be true. It's Satan's schemes coming to fruition, but we get to watch and not be surprised when they happen, because we have a book that actually tells us exactly what will take place, and it shouldn't be surprising when it does. If we study scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit, and we pay attention to the things going on in the world, we can see Revelation unfurling. I'm not sure if you missed it, but Biden went off script not that long ago and actually called for a new world order. I have seen quite a few people say this now in open settings, and I'm not just talking about Tom McDonald. They are preparing the world for this to be something that people beg for. They'll establish a need like they have with everything else. Look at the digital currency situation, which I'll get slightly into in a little while, but my last podcast I got deeper into with that. Even Elon Musk is warning against the dangers of a one-world government. At the 2023 World Government Summit in Dubai, he said, "I know this is called the World Government Summit, but I think we should be a little bit concerned about actually becoming too much of a single world government." I have to say, I totally agree. In a day and age where there are talks of robotic patrols to govern the people, where places like San Francisco already have it on the books, it's already in law, that robots can use deadly force, martial law has a whole new meaning now. Look at the advancement in AI. Look at how quickly robotics are getting pushed out. They're talking about robots enforcing the law. Martial law would be so much different. You don't need humans at that point. You have robots. Defunding the police is leading to funding robotic police. You would think that this is a joke, but go look at the advancement of AI and what they're actually building. Look at the push that they're doing. The United Nations approved the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. It has a new universal agenda. Are you surprised to know that the Pope endorsed it? It's a scheduled approach to a one-world government. Are you surprised yet? Are you seeing the connections yet? The 2030 Agenda was endorsed by President Obama in his farewell speech to the UN General Assembly. This isn't new. It's not new. You just have to pay attention. Go and look these things up. If you need to make notes of the things that I'm saying, make notes and go look at them yourself, because you will be flabbergasted. The 2030 Agenda was endorsed by President Obama in his farewell speech to the UN General Assembly. He said, "In order to move forward, we do have to acknowledge that the existing path to global integration requires a course correction." He also said, "We must reject any form of fundamentalism or racism or a belief in ethnic superiority that makes our traditional identities irreconcilable with modernity. It's a truism that globalism has led to a collision of cultures." Notice the fundamentalism. Notice the racism. I mean, in a day and age where math is racist, where thinking logically is racist, and racism is thrown about and means nothing anymore because they have so changed the definition of that word, they use it for everything. What does this actually mean? It makes you wonder what form of fundamentalism he was talking about. I am a fundamentalist myself, and I sure hope that more Christians are. We need to believe what the Word of God says, yet this is now being made to be a bad word. It's framed like it's despicable. Does this include the people who hold to biblical truth? Because that's what we are being called, and it's happening more frequently. The people who hold to God's written standards, the Bible, are called fundamentalists or radicals, and those who are willing to compromise still call themselves Christians. They're actually being called the true Christians. This collision of cultures surely includes the Christian faith. Ours is one that collides with any unbeliever. Luke 21:17 says, "And you will be hated by all because of my name." Luke 12:51-53 says, "Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, 5 members in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Jesus was telling us that he came to divide. That was the point. He's dividing believers from unbelievers. He's dividing those who will be with him in heaven and those who won't. Martin Castro, an Obama appointee, is chairman of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. He released a report that said Americans need to be protected from Bible thumpers. In his comment, he referred to religious liberty and religious freedom as code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. Just think about that. He said that Americans need to be protected from Bible thumpers. You mean people who, you know, adhere to scripture. Speak truth. He referred to religious liberty and religious freedom. He's talking about our religious liberty and our religious freedom being code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia and Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. That's what we're deemed because the world hates us. We know we'll be hated because we follow Jesus and we see it all over the place, and it's okay because he has overcome the world, and we still need to stand firm and we still need to fight back against the things that come against the truth of God, right? The things that make it harder for people to know who God actually is, the perversion of God's word. We see this hatred all over the place. The name of Jesus incites all kinds of hatred. You can say God, spirit, religion, Christ, but the name of Jesus and his unchanging truth gets hatred and anger from those who reject him. All of these phrases culminate in the same thing. The Great Reset, New World Order, One World Government, Fourth Industrial Revolution, they're all a push for an unnatural unity, one that's not of God. In Genesis 9, it talks about, in the days after the flood, God talking to Noah. Genesis 9:1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." And he said in Genesis 9:7, "As for you, be fruitful and multiply, populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it." God told them to fill the earth, not stay in one place with everyone and make a mighty empire, but instead of listening, they formed a huge people, defying God and his authority. In Genesis 11:1-4, it says, "Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, 'Come, let us build for ourselves a city, and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name, Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They were defying what God said. They didn't want to be scattered abroad over the whole face of the earth, so they tried to make a place for themselves. Notice they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves, and let us make for ourselves a name." Otherwise what? Otherwise they'd be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. The absolute defiance is plain. They didn't want to do as they were told, so they rebelled, and instead of looking to God, they made themselves God, doing as they pleased instead. Genesis 11:5-9 says, "The Lord came down to see the city, and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language.' And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. So he made happen what he told them to do to begin with. We have a world that is defiant against God. They have forced God out of the government, schools, and the town square. They are deeming what he said evil and praising that which what he calls an abomination. They push back against his created order. They've made themselves gods and are working to create a one world order that will reflect that. They're trying to create their own Babel. In a time when language is no longer confused, we have translators galore, some of which fit in your pocket. Those who are scattered are trying to pull together the resources and power of the whole world and act as God of this world, which we know is what is going to happen because of Daniel and Revelation, and there's other places that talks about it too. Revelation 13:1 says, "And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names." The dragon is Satan, and the beast coming up out of the sea is the Antichrist. We can look at that next to Daniel. Daniel 7:16-24 says, "I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are 4 in number, are 4 kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages to come. Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with his feet. And the meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which 3 of them fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Thus he said, the 4th beast will be a 4th kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them, and he will be different from the previous ones, and will subdue 3 kings. With a one-world government, that doesn't mean that we will not have other people in some form of control, because you have, in any situation, you have the hierarchy, and then you have people who are lower, and you have people who are lower to help oversee the people around them. We can see that some sort of one world government system will be in play by the beast, who is the most powerful horn, who will wage war against God's holy people and conquer them. We're already seeing the glimpse of what this may look like in China with their social credit system, and even to a small degree Canada, when there was a protest among hundreds of truck drivers when banks froze their bank accounts because they wanted them to go back to work. Revelation 13:7 says, "It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him." For one to have authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation, it'll be a governing of the whole world by one governing body, whatever that looks like. There's another place, which is Daniel 2:41-42, where we see the 10-nation alliance, where it talks about the statue, where the final world government consists of 10 entities represented by the 10 toes. There will be 10 rulers, and 3 will be subdued by the beast. Daniel 7:8 says, "While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. The other 7 will do his bidding. This ruler will have a vast empire, having power and great authority, given to him by Satan himself." Revelation 13:2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. The ruler will receive worship from all the world." Revelation 13:3-4 says, "I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him?' And there will be authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation." That's a one world governing system, and we're being prepared for that right now. Revelation 13:7, "It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. This leader will be recognized as sovereign over all other governments." We see throughout Revelation the plagues, the disasters, how today those things are being used to wield power. How much more when it's to the degree that God's going to let it go to in that day? I mean, if you read Revelation, it's going to be insane. I mean, the birth pangs are only going to lead up to total, just a huge amount of devastation. God is going to wreak havoc on the earth in those days. This is truly the view of a one world government, whether or not there are sub-governing bodies, which there would have to be. The leader would be the face that everyone looks to as supreme. We watched the world unite with COVID in an unusual way that led to people being locked in their homes to die in places like China, and COVID-19 camps where people were forced to stay if they came up positive, which, I mean, at this point, you know, how easy is it for somebody to make somebody positive if they want it to be? And how many false positives were there? I'm wondering how many people were held against their will and you didn't even have COVID-19. Places like New Zealand with their lockdowns that were enforced in absolutely crazy ways. And in the blink of an eye, freedom can be lost. We're watching the pen get put up around us. The gates are closing in and people are asking for them. They're saying, "We don't feel safe enough. Take our guns away. Take our rights away and just protect us." That is crazy. There's a push for everyone to be in lockstep among varying religions, varying ideologies, and the currency being made into something that's so easily unified. A digital currency is the only real way you can have a one world currency. It's the only way it would work. There is a federal system that will be in place starting in between May and July of 2023. Guess what month we're in right now? Right now, as I record this, we are in May. It's called the FedNow service. It's a system being put in place for digital transactions. It's a new instant payment infrastructure developed by the Federal Reserve that allows financial institutions of every size, across the U.S. to provide safe and efficient instant payment services, unless they don't want them to be. Through financial institutions participating in the FedNow service, businesses and individuals can send and receive instant payments in real time around the clock every day of the year. Financial institutions and their service providers can use the service to provide innovative instant payment services to customers, and recipients will have full access to funds immediately, allowing for greater financial flexibility when making time-sensitive payments. This is exactly what needs to be put into place before we can go digitally. I mean, they are setting it up right now. They're setting up exactly what needs to be for a digital currency, the one world currency, to be put into place. This goes with the three major banks that collapsed in one day, and more have collapsed since then. The global reserve currency is changing. U.S. currency collapsing, and a new global reserve currency is in the works. BRICS, which includes Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, has come together and demanded a new global reserve currency. They've demanded a new global reserve currency. In a world that's crashing to pieces with economic collapse and devastation due to all of the different crises, due to weather, human depravity, war, starvation, pandemics, and more, the Antichrist will be the one who says, "I can solve all the world's problems." And with how we've seen people react to free everything and the insanity that happens behind these starvations and pandemics and all of that, people go crazy. They're going to be begging for this. I mean, they're going to be flocking to somebody to take care of them. Just give me money and let me live. Don't make me do anything. We know that Satan wants to be like God and be in total control. He will have to, as I've already said, control the dollar. We're watching as our money is going towards digital currency, which is frightening, and it's going to happen quick. Absolute control of every person's ability to buy, sell, and trade. We've seen in China where they have a social credit system, not to mention when you have one system and it fails, it hurts everybody, and it makes it hard to recover from. Throughout history, civilizations have collapsed, but because they were separate, we had separate civilizations. When one would collapse, another would rise. That's why power has dominated in various places, and it switches hands as collapse happen. But what happens when total power is in one place? You have a total collapse. If we have a one world government and a world collapse, and we have somebody come in and say, "I can fix these problems," and they can show signs and wonders to where people think that they can control whatever they decide to try and look like they can control, they're going to be flocking to this person for help. You know, that's what people do. People don't want to live in hurt, so they flock to whoever they think is going to quote unquote help them. China, who wants to eradicate Christianity, has tried to do so in a plethora of ways. Though the churches grow under persecution, which it's amazing how God grows his church through persecution, and China has a very large population of Christians, they're all underground for fear of a host of things, including death. Because that's a very real thing. And, you know, being harvested for organs. In China, the social credit system tracks your every move through an ID card, which contains a computer chip, which is also used for movement throughout China. Opening a bank account, getting a job, renting an apartment, it becomes impossible without one. You can't catch a flight or a train or any of the other things without this card. It's the chip. It really is that chip. It's the chip. Sounds like what's happening here, doesn't it? Do you have a real ID yet? Because if you don't, you're going to have one. You're going to be forced to. Think of all the things you wouldn't be able to do here without an ID. Are you seeing the connections yet? I mean, all of these things are linked together. There are face recognition systems for all sorts of things. They're in cash registers at the store, banks, traffic light cams. The fast track cams set up show who's driving and where. We're being monitored everywhere we go. Facebook listens to us and shows us by the ads it puts on our pages. You don't have to look anything up. Just have a conversation and boom, ads. Ads for whatever it is you were talking about show up. You're not talking on the phone. You're not looking online. You're not typing some. No, just a conversation. In Canada, there are supermarkets, and the whole supermarket is digital. there is no cash. There's no cashiers. There aren't. You go in, and you pick up the things that you're getting, and you pay for it yourself with a card, of course. And everything's monitored. It's all monitored. They know what you're buying, when you're buying it, how you're buying it, how much you're buying of it. We live in a surveillance state. We just do. I mean, most places are surveillance states at this point. No matter where in the world you are, to some degree, you're being surveyed. I mean, there is some kind of surveillance happening. Look at the satellites and how great you can see. They can go down and find somebody from a satellite and look at where they're at. They've solved crimes through satellites, through tracking people to see where they came from and taken down cartel rings that way. I mean, this all sounds insane, but it really isn't. This is the world that we live in. If you have a smartphone or get on the internet, your digital fingerprint is there and somebody sees it. The system in China that's in place effectively watches its people and can shut off their bank accounts at will. They can say, I don't like what you're doing. So you can no longer buy, sell, or trade. They're going as far as to turn off the bank accounts of the families of people who are Christians. It's not the people. They'll turn theirs off. They will turn somebody's off if they're a Christian. But they will turn the families, if they think the family is helping that Christian out, they will turn their stuff off too. The Bible and other Christian materials, such as crosses, are banned. You can be fined and have jail time if found with a Bible. This is what we're seeing being adopted in the U.S. and around the world. We're watching these laws trickle in. We're watching the intolerance of Christians, the laws that go that make it so that we cannot have liberty and freedom in our Christian walk. You know, we can't speak freely about the Lord. We're watching all of these things happening, and it's all accumulating right now. It's being brought in with the premise of convenience and safety and tolerance and love. This is just not okay. There are new regulations concerning online activity, which they largely patrol in China already. There are regulations on what you can view on the internet and where it can come from. Restrictions that hugely regulate the news and other things from other countries. We know that in China, TikTok, for instance, is banned. Yet, it's a Chinese-owned company. Some of it is Chinese-owned. It's actually, there's a lot of U.S. holders and other people in it. But TikTok is banned in China. Trump wanted to ban TikTok when he was president, which is really funny to me because everybody says he's all about freedom, except, you know, he isn't. Just like all of the other puppets in our government who now have passed the bill banning TikTok from government phones. It's already passed from government phones, computers, and laptops. Now they're trying to ban it from the U.S. completely. What's really interesting is that a bill that is all about TikTok, or says that it is, doesn't say anything about the company itself. It's written so broadly that it, in effect, bans whatever the secretary and sitting president deem a national security issue. If you ban TikTok, what's next? Facebook? Twitter? Google? What's coming next? Google's been spying on us and compiling information on us for years. You can't have a private conversation without your phone hearing what you're saying and then suggesting ads for you. The bill that I'm talking about criminalizes VPNs. And it essentially makes it so that the government has complete control of all of your activity online. Anything that they decide is a threat to national security can be fined and jailed for past, present, and future crimes, up to 25 years jail time. This is exactly what China does. I mean, if you don't think that our world is headed towards a communist dictatorship, I don't know what to tell you. It also makes way for our freedom of speech to be decimated. Biden gave a speech not that long ago where he said Trump and MAGA Republicans represent extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. He said, not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. We already know that he's fought against Christian beliefs in countless different ways, enforcing things like biological males being forced to be allowed to shower in girls' locker rooms. This is forcing Christians to go against their core values. He told Dylan Mulvaney, a man who's obsessed with playing a bad caricature of a young girl and demanding praise for it, that he believed that no one should have the right to take away trans rights to mutilate themselves. Last part I added, the mutilate themselves part, because that's exactly what he's pushing for. This is the push, and it's only going one way. We have seen his stance on abortion and tons of other things that all push towards the communist agenda in the end. These are all linked. To pass this bill is just another step to the U.S. adopting the ways of communism, functioning more like China, and decimating our laws that protect us. Christianity is being regulated in America, and Christians are being forced to comply whether they like it or not. The new regulations for Chinese online activities states, organizations and individuals must not proselytize online and must not carry out religious education or training, publish preaching, or repose or link to related content, must not organize the carrying out of religious activities online, and must not broadcast religious rites through means such as text, images, audio, or video, either live or in recordings. So, no religious activity whatsoever. These are things they already do. They just have it written now. In essence, we're simply watching the nation that we live in become another communist nation, to which in the end, it will be authoritarian with complete control and dominance, whether it looks like an autocratic government or an oligarchy, we'll see. But all in all, no matter what the outward view is, it'll be an oligarchy. I mean, it just will. With one who has the authority straight from Satan himself to dominate the world until Jesus comes back. And Jesus will come back when he's ready. We don't get to dictate when that happens, by the way. Doesn't matter what we do. We aren't going to usher him in any faster. He'll come when he's ready. He's God. We aren't. Revelation 13:16-17 says, and he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free man and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. We don't know what this mark is and what that will play out like. But it will make it so that unless you are given such a mark, you'll not be able to do any of the things necessary for normal living. The only time in history that this could be possible is happening right now, with the rise of AI and the endless chips and bank cards in people's hands. And there's so many different people getting chips in their necks. There are chips happening. ID cards, video cameras everywhere, and the digital currency that's coming. We're seeing the foundation being laid and the brainwashing all around us. Those who refuse the mark of the beast will face things like starvation and horrific persecution. No way to talk to their families because you don't have the ability to have a phone, electricity, drive anywhere, get on a plane, train, or a bus. No internet, no ability to communicate, no food, no water. You would think that people would be aware of the possibilities that are coming. Maybe they are, and for convenience sake, they just don't care, or they just choose to overlook it because it's inconvenience and it's not fun to think about. There are thousands of people who have had microchips placed into their bodies. Things that give access to homes, offices, gyms, medical records, social media records, bank account info, identification cards with the swipe of a hand. You can pay for something or open a door or unlock it. Elon Musk both warns against the dangers of AI and works to further it. He has co-founded a company called Neuralink, which is making a brain chip that can control your body. It would allow you to type without a keyboard. It can also control your body movements, even if people are paralyzed. This is an interesting step. This guy is one of the most disingenuous people. He, to no end, talks about how we need to be careful of AI, and at the same time is furthering it just very quickly. The mark of the beast is on your forehead or your hand. You know, I'm not saying that the Neuralink is the mark of the beast. I'm just saying we're being prepped for it. I know all too well the things people can hack into. What is to say that you can't be controlled by an outside source with a chip like this? With decades of the government trying to physically control its population, could this be a way for them to be able to do that? When a baby is born, how hard would it be for them to chip them, like a dog or a cat? And I know this sounds conspiratorious, but this is the world that we live in, and this is what we're seeing the push towards. It's hard not to have these questions. This new digital dollar that's being talked about is programmable money. Some come with an expiration date. If you don't use it, you lose it. Talk about total control. Where you can't keep what you want for a later date. You must use it or it'll be gone. The idea of universal income and all the talk of equity really hits home when you realize that the government wants to own all of the property, businesses, and ability to distribute what they deem appropriate when they deem appropriate. Thankfully, we have a mighty and merciful God who we know is actually sovereign. We know who ultimately wins, but we ought to be prepared for what's coming. We need to keep our eyes open and not be surprised. We need to know that at some point, we may not have access to money. We may, you know, have to figure out a new way of life. This is where I really think that a lot of us need to look into seed sharing. We need to look into the different things that, what kind of plants are edible, what kind of plants are good for medicine. How do we live without money? How do we do that? I don't know the answers. I just know that I see what could be coming and what could be in my kids' future, you know? So just keep your eyes open. Pray. Trust the Lord. Know that He's got you. Remember, God can take care of us through anything. He can take care of us through plagues. He can take care of us through natural disasters. Look at the people in Egypt. He can keep His people safe. So don't let this make you freak out. That's not the point of this podcast. The point is to inform. The point is to make you think about what's happening and to maybe put some pieces together you might not have already put together. The point is to get you to rely on the Lord more. Be in your Bibles. Know what the Word is. Find safety and peace in Him, because we are going to need to understand the Word of God and have it treasured in our hearts, because we don't know what's coming. We don't know when we're not going to have our Bibles, and we need to be able to share the love of God with the people around us. Until next time, be blessed.